Welcome to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change, with me, Lana Montrese, burlesque and drag movement instructor and coach. During this show, you will discover healing from trauma in a way you never thought possible and become empowered in all areas of your life. Do you feel stuck in a system that seems broken? Are you longing to have meaning in your life? If you answered yes and are ready to change yourself and the world, then you are being called to give Banking on Burlesque a listen. I discovered that healing starts within and would love to help you navigate into a world of sparkle, wonder, and a lifetime of magical change. Banking on Burlesque starts now. Hello, and welcome back to Banking on Burlesque with me, Lana Montrese. So today's episode is called Freezing My Tassels in Alaska. And it's just like how it sounds. So let me backtrack just a little bit. The title, Freezing My Tassels in Alaska, is to pay homage to the Freezing Tassels Burlesque Festival that used to happen in Anchorage, Alaska. I say used to happen because they are no longer doing their festival anymore, which is really sad because it was one of my favorite festivals that I've ever been to as a performer. And I had the privilege of going in 2019. So I'm going to go ahead and go dive into today's episode because I don't want to give too much away before I have planned, but I just wanted to iterate that because it's a really great festival and they still are out there on the social medias. So if you want to go check out Facebook or Instagram, it's the Freezing Tassels Burlesque Festival. And Anchorage still has a really great burlesque scene. So anyways, okay. So just to recap from last month, we were talking about how I decided to make the big jump and leave the banking industry, financial industry, and basically bet on myself being a performer and able to manage life and being an adult in other ways and making money. And that's how I stumbled upon Transformation Talk Radio Network, which ultimately led me to here, but there's a lot of stuff that happened in between then because that was back in 2019. So shortly thereafter that I started on with the network, I was in a car accident. Yay! It was April 14th is the day that has, I will always remember in my brain as a day that has changed my life. It's also a really easy day for me to remember because it's exactly like 1 month before my birthday. So, you know, yeah. Anyways, I was hit by a 16-year-old driver. It totaled my car. It flipped my life upside down. Ironically, I don't really talk about this part very much. I haven't shared this with very many people, but ironically, I was, testing the waters to go back into the financial industry part-time and see what was out there. I had received an email from a recruiter reaching out, yada, yada, yada. So I, you know, decided to mull it over and see what, you know, if I could manage to do that. So I went, did the interview, was leaving the parking lot, and boom, yay, 16-year-old drivers. So that was really traumatizing. I have been in a lot of car accidents over the course of my life. That's one of the traumas that I have. It's really interesting trauma to have, especially when you've been pretty much accustomed to going through, and when something traumatic happens, just picking up and continuing to go on and not actually dealing with the trauma and the impact on your body, like mentally, physically, emotionally. It's a lot. And that, even though, yes, my car was totaled, but it wasn't an accident to where I was, you know, physically hurt where I needed to go to the hospital. The other person wasn't injured either. You know, it could have easily been, someone could have easily been like, oh, it was just a fender bender, but no, my car was anyway. So, the turn of events that happened after that car accident. So it put me in a completely different headspace of being able to make my life happen for myself, or want to continue to just do the hustle life of working a few different odd jobs and performing and all these things, and be in a position where I didn't have a lot of things set up. Anyways, so I was in a really bad place. I, lost my vehicle, which was my main means of transportation, for some of the things that I was doing for income. It put me in a space where I just, I couldn't show up and do the job that I was meant to do with the network. I feel really bad about that too. Like, you know, the whole thing. So in all of this, I had two ways to go. And that was either to, you know, I guess the old saying, that's pretty ridiculous, is picking myself up by the bootstraps and trying to just not ask for help and continue to go on this path that I was on and just continue to stress myself out while I was also dealing with the trauma of a car accident. Gets me tired talking about it. Or the other option was to reach out for help. Don't like asking for help. I think a lot of us don't like asking for help, especially being an adult and, you know, coming from a place that sometimes asking for help growing up, sometimes asking for help meant that it came with a like contingencies. It wasn't just freely given. So, but this wasn't like that. So I reached out to my grandma, and my grandma's one of the great solid people in my life that I have, and laid out all the things that were going on, and probably cried because I like to cry when I'm overwhelmed and have a lot of things going on. And she was actually at my brother's wedding in Florida that I wasn't able to make because I just had way too many things going on. I was really sad about that. It's like, oh, I wish I didn't. Anyway, so she's like, well, let us have the wedding and do the things, and I'll call you back and we'll try to figure out a plan together, see, you know, how I can help you. And so when she calls back, I'm actually getting a little ahead of myself. I do that sometimes. It's just today. It's not just today. It's the whole like last 2 weeks of life, or like last week at least. I don't know if any of you have been feeling the Mercury in retrograde and the full moon and all the planets doing the planetary thing. I know there's definitely other hosts on here that can talk to you about planetary movement and how they affect your charts, or you can go online and look at that. That's why we're not here for that. But I just wanted to mention that if I seem a little bit here and there, that is why. And you are welcome to be here and there with me. This is a nice open space for us to do that together. So as I was saying, I lost my place. I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself, like I already did at the beginning. But a great thing to get ahead of myself for, because the one thing that I was leaving out was the thing that I already talked about at the beginning, and that is the Freezing Tassel Burlesque Festival. So right before I finally left banking for good, it was done deal. I wasn't going to try to do balance, working at the bank and doing the network and performing and trying to juggle all of these different hats all at once. So I did the Freezing Tassel. Actually, the Freezing Tassel Burlesque Festival was part of the deciding factor of, I didn't want to do the banking industry anymore. So the Freezing Tassel Burlesque Festival, I'm going to just keep saying it because I just love it so much. The producers of that festival would go above and beyond to make sure that everything was just chef's kiss for everyone involved. So it's one of the few festivals out there in the burlesque community where they pay you to do the festival. Big surprise, burlesque festivals aren't paid. Some of them are, but a lot of them are more for their usually competition festivals. So you're applying to get into the festival to then compete for, titles. It's usually the reasons for these burlesque festivals. Also to network and all of the great things that have come out of them too. But there are a few of them that pay. And when we find them that pay and that go above and beyond for us, we like to hold them near and dear to our hearts. So with that, I'm actually just going to take a quick break because I think I need to reevaluate my situation with my notes and my brain and take a sip of water and let you all have a sip of water or whatever you're going to do. And we'll be back.
Are you ready to branch out, to take a leap of faith, to love yourself and others fully? Hi, I'm Erica Gifford Mills, founder of Balanced Symmetry and host of Get Rooted Radio. If you answered yes to even one of the above, then this 12-week course is for you. The Rooted Life Group Coaching Series will give you the tools, techniques, and strength to be intentional in your pursuit of what sets your soul on fire. Find out more about this program on my website, getrootedradio.com.
Do you get stuck in that someday attitude, living the same day over and over again with no action? The Becoming You Show, big ideas that inspire, impact, and influence your life with Leah Rowling is for you. Tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Central on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This show will have you feeling inspired to take action with purpose and intention. For more information and to get in touch with me, visit www.leahrowling.com.
Damayanti, where you can find a special gift for that special person. Or perhaps that special person is you. Our collections include messages in sacred Sanskrit of love, fearlessness, divine energy, and strength. Made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti is the place to find a soul message unique to you, designed for your life journey. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special mantra that speaks to your soul.
It's time to tap into your divine self through angelic guidance. Join your host, Cindy Smith, and co-hosts in the Angel Empowerment Show from I Can't to I Can, airing every Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn from four of the best angel empowerment practitioners in the field. Together, they will share experiential teachings and offer live on-air professional angel card readings and much more. For more information, visit CindySmithAEP.com.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show 1-800-930-2819.
And we're back. So, while we were on break, I was chatting and I'm just so excited because I love Alaska so much. And when you love something so much and get so excited, it's really easy for you to just get caught up in the whirlwind of telling all of the great and amazing stories that you have that led you to Alaska or that led me to Alaska. So hence part of the background, if you haven't noticed, it's the Aurora Borealis going on, the Northern Lights that happen in Alaska that I've actually still yet to see. I was recently in Alaska as well, back in last month in April. I was doing a little Alaskan tour, the tundra tour is what I like to call it. We flew into Anchorage and then we were in Fairbanks. And anyways, back to what I was talking about, because like I said, I just get so excited with all of the things that involve Alaska, because Alaska. So I call Alaska, L-A-S-K-A, Alaska, kind of like America, but Alaska, because it's different and it's its own, like, if you go to Alaska, you'll understand. If you live in Alaska, you'll understand. It's just, it's different. So back to the Freezing Tassels Burlesque Festival. Such a great festival. Like I said, I can sing their praises all day. I got permission as well from one of the producers. I texted her, was like, hey, can I name my episode and pay us to pay a homage to festival? And she's like, yes, of course, I love you. I was like, I love you too. Love you. So anyways, we were at the festival. We had a wonderful time. They also set up to where you can take a tour on the little, like the mush dogs. That's fun. It's just a whole great time. Anyways, so fell in love with Alaska then, went back home to Seattle to my bank job, just bleh. And, you know, like I said, I was also juggling multiple things at once. I didn't just cut the cord immediately and just stop doing banking. I like, it was a slow build, because that's me. I'm a slow build thing that I need to do and want to do. Kind of like when I got into burlesque, it was a slow build for me to get on stage. I'm not one of the performers that just saw it and immediately needed to be on stage and do all the things to get on stage. It was, I'm a little intimidated. I'm going to test the waters first and see how that goes. So that's why I, you know, canned for 2 years before I got on stage. That's also why, you know, it took me a little while to transition from the banking world to the gig work world. But anyways, after I transitioned out, I came home, you know, I left my 2 week notice and I started doing all the things. Like I said earlier, I was in a car accident, my grandma. So then I think I'm back to where I was talking. I think I've puzzle pieced the pieces together. If you're confused, I mean, just we could talk about it later if you want to inbox me or something and ask questions about Alaska. I have all the answers. Not really, but I just have all the stories for Alaska. So my grandma says, you know, she's going to call me after the wedding and we can figure out a plan. So she, you know, I was like, okay. And, you know, that was a little bit of a relief that I got it off my chest and was able to express it to my grandma that, like, you know, I was having these problems and I needed help. And part of it was like, I might have to come home, grandma. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford to live here if I don't have a car to be able to get around. So she calls me back. My grandma is one of these, like, just amazing women that I admire and adore and, you know, would love to just do like she does, which I try to sometimes. She calls me back and she says, so I have a solution that will solve all your problems. It was a very bold statement. And I, you know, the silence is needed to just be able to absorb that boldness of the statement that she made, that she had a solution for all my problems. I said, okay, grandma, what's the solution? What's the catch? Because there has to be a catch if you know, it's a solution to all my problems, right? Like, can't be too thick. So hope y'all are thinking what I'm thinking, because that was where my mind went, like, what's the catch? And so she says, well, the catch is it involves Alaska. Okay. Having had been to Alaska earlier that year, at the beginning of the year, I like, okay, well, Alaska was really fun. Don't really have any qualms with Alaska. However, I knew this wasn't going to be Anchorage, Alaska. It was going to be in a much smaller place in Alaska called Fairbanks. People know where Fairbanks is. So people don't know where Las Vegas, New Mexico is, though. Anyways, we so that was the situation. Her boyfriend, or I don't know if I should call him her boyfriend now. I don't know. Anyways, there's a human that she knows that they're really good friends. I should stop talking about other people's love lives. Anyways, this is my grandma. It's fine, I think. It'll have to be fine. Sorry, grandma. So this person, has a house and a property in Fairbanks, and he'd been back to New Mexico tending to things he needed to do there, and it was getting really hard for him to do the flying back and forth between the New Mexico and Alaska in the winter to keep his pipes from freezing. So she said, well, the solution is you could go to Alaska, live in the house, make sure the pipes don't freeze, do all the things to keep the house up and running through the winter. And essentially, bills would just be, what I could pay when I was able to get up back on my feet, got a job and was able to start paying rent or contributing to bills, because it was really it was one of those like financial things where I was helping him out by making sure like his house, the pipes weren't freezing, and he was going to have to spend so much extra money on tending to the house and doing the back and forth thing. And it was really helping me out because I could get back on my feet and not have to worry about bills stacking upon bills stacking upon bills. So pretty much in the moment, I was like, you know what? I guess let's go. I am, take the path less traveled, right? So we did that. We did that. I did that. As another day I'll remember for like an actual date, like outside of someone's birthday or the holiday or something that I have to, or my birthday that I have to remember, because I forget my, anyways. September 19th, that was the day that I packed up two suitcases and my little dog, and we flew from Seattle to Fairbanks. I think it was a nonstop flight too, pretty sure. I met my grandma's boyfriend there for the first time. I keep saying boyfriend, friend. Anyways, human that they are. Anyways, I'm just gonna keep saying anyways because I just know it's awkward. I'm awkward. We're all awkward. It's an awkward party. Oh, I like to laugh at myself, but. I met him for the first time. He's an interesting human. We flew to Alaska. He, with my two suitcases and my little dog Dallas. Mind you, one of the suitcases was full of my burlesque costumes. The large suitcase of the two was full of my burlesque costumes. The second suitcase had, clothes. And the rest of my belongings got put in a storage unit in Seattle because a storage unit monthly rent was a lot easier to afford than the rent at an apartment in Seattle. So, threw all my stuff in a storage unit, put as much clothes as I could fit in one bag, put all of my costume, all my burlesque costume. Didn't have very many burlesque costumes at that time. I mean, it's not that I didn't have very many. What I consider myself a minimalist when it comes to my burlesque costumes. I don't do the big, huge, extravagant, like multiple huge pieces that take up lots of space. Not that I don't want to, it's just, I just know myself. And I also like to do the game of making sure I'm going to break even on a costume before I just spend a lot of money on it. So anyways, budgeting in burlesque, it's a hard thing to do, especially when you're new. I know I had to be really strict with myself on not spending all the money I wanted to on all of the burlesque costumes. And I know that there are some people out there that that have done this, and it's hard. But anyways, took my costumes, took my bag of clothes, took my little dog, went to Alaska. It was September. It was still basically fall in Alaska. You know, it wasn't like terribly cold. I was still able to get away with wearing a hoodie. Got the lay of the land, figured out, learned how to do the things I needed to do in the house. Like, well, I already semi-knew how to build a fire, but I got really good at building a fire while I was in Alaska for the winter. Still really good at building a fire. And I got really good at shoveling snow. It's a really great release of energy if you're ever angry or frustrated, is shoveling snow and then negative degrees, like -5. Because shoveling snow in -5 degrees weather is a lot better than shoveling snow in -20 degrees weather. So yes, anywho, I obviously was determined to be accepted in whatever burlesque community was existing in Fairbanks, Alaska. I didn't know if there was any, but I figured out that there was, I didn't know if there was any at first. I was just like, whatever. And if there's not a burlesque community, I'm going to make it. We're going to go ahead and take a break and I'm going to come back. I think I kind of got excited. I got really excited again about what we're going to talk about next because it's really fun. So let's go to another break and we'll come back and I will get to go into more Alaska. Thanks. And we're back. Alaska.
Navigating a life of chronic pain and pain cycles can break you down and change your world. Searching for answers adds to the confusion unless you take charge and create something better. My name is Christine Vibrant, and I help motivated people turn their pain points into their power points. If you feel ready for the intensive, transformative journey of my Better Me Empowered Living program, contact me at christine@beingbetterme.com.
I am Carissa Atkins, and I help women boss up, get fit, and become unstoppable. And I do this by helping them create healthy habits that support nutrition and exercise and mindset work and stress management and self-care. You get the idea. If that sounds something like you're interested in, you can find me everywhere. Just Google, you know, Carissa Atkins 365 Daily Hustle. It's a global health coaching company, so I'm coaching women all over the world.
Sherry Collins is an intuitive development life coach, psychic medium, and teacher of many modalities to help heal the body, mind, and soul. Her work mixes together a variety of different modalities to create something totally unique and powerful. If you are ready to heal the past traumas and wounds that keep you stuck, Sherry will teach you techniques that will allow you to live your best life. To learn more and book a session, visit sherry-collins.com.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today.
I think I invented that hashtag, I'm pretty sure, because I don't know if I heard Alaska before I started. Anyway, it's probably been said. It may or may not have been a hashtag before I started using it, but hey, Alaska. Anyways, like I said, I was getting really excited. Alaska does that to me. It's one of these things where I realized after living in Alaska that even though I only lived there for 3 months, yes, I only lived there for 3 months, I have stories that can fill an entire novel about just Alaska in the 3 months that I was there. So I was really excited to be accepted in the burlesque community. I did find out from a producer in Anchorage that did the Freezing Tassel Burlesque Festival that there was a few performers in Fairbanks. So she connected us. And when I first got to Fairbanks, that was the first thing I did was find out when their next show was. Luckily for me, it was really soon. So I went to their next show. The way that they have their show set up is they do like 2 or 3 nights of shows of the same show in a row, which is really great because if you miss it once, you can come back and see it again. Or if you really like it, you can see it 3 times. So I went to the first show, maybe it was the second show, second night, not sure. Anyways, met her in person, met the burlesque little burlesque community she had there that were performing, and it did off really well. She actually asked if I had an act that I brought, if I like, you know, that would be in theme with the show to be on for the next night because they had a few acts that weren't going to be available for that next night because these performers had other prior engagements, whatever, you know, things. So yeah, I said yes. I basically was almost, it felt like I was almost immediately booked in my first show in Alaska. So I got to perform with all the new little community, the new community. I shouldn't call it little because it wasn't like that little. It was nice size community. For a small of a town, I didn't expect there to be that many. Boop, 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 doo. So it was a really great show. And let's see, what else? Where am I? Like I said, I keep getting, today's one of those days that you're just going to feel like I said, blah, blah, blah. And that's okay because we're all human and we all have times that sometimes we're just all over the place. I hope I'm giving you the space and the time to just be able to chuckle and laugh and while you're having your coffee or your dinner. Probably not having coffee now because it's the evening. We're not a morning show. We are an evening show. You could be having an evening coffee. I have evening coffee sometimes. But like I was saying, Fairbanks show, the burlesque community there really, they are chef's kiss. So like I was talking about, the burlesque festival in Anchorage was just chef's kiss because the community there just goes above and beyond for the people that are involved in the community, for each other. So when I was in Fairbanks, you know, feeling like they just welcomed me in with open arms, it was a complete like 180 of how I was able to get involved and establish myself as a performer in Seattle. When I was in Seattle, it was really interesting because it's more of like who you know versus what you know. So if you can, you know, have other people kind of vouch for you, I guess, and they've seen you perform, it's a little bit easier to get booked in Seattle. It took me a while. It took me probably about three months or so, until after I moved to Seattle, until I was booked in my first show. So going from that to then going to Fairbanks, where I didn't know anybody. I didn't even know that there was a burlesque community that existed there. So to just being welcomed with open arms and them just wanting to accept me and like pretty much booking me in my first show, like on the spot the next day. So, you know, then I met other people. The person that I had that in that I knew that I, well, not know, but they were kind of off topic. The second show that I was able to do in Fairbanks was with a different producer and another person that I just absolutely adore. Everyone in Fairbanks, I just absolutely adore. They are really great people. They made me feel at home. If I needed help with something, I could just, you know, message someone or text them. And for the most part, people would just help. And like I said, I have a whole novel of stories that I'm trying to like pull out of my brain because I've never just planned something and then things don't go as planned. So you kind of just have to do it. And that's what we're kind of doing right now. But it's okay. Fairbanks, Alaska, great people. One time after a show, we got home super late. It was probably about 2 in the morning and it was freezing. It was probably about negative 30 degrees. Yes, it got to negative 30 degrees. And actually negative 40 degrees is the same as Fahrenheit and Celsius. So that's how cold it gets there. And the truck that I was driving got stuck in the driveway. And by driveway, it's not really a driveway. It's like a mini dirt road up to the actual driveway. And the other performer that was with me, their partner and their partner's friend and this other person that I was dating at the time just were able to, they just dropped, they were doing in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning and came and helped us get unstuck because we could not get ourselves unstuck. Took a while. I think we were probably still out there and up and awake till about like 3 or 4 in the morning, but you know, we got it unstuck. And that's just the type of people that are in Alaska. And I wasn't expecting to fall in love with a small town that was in Alaska that had, you know, X amount of months of winter where there's very little sunlight, but I happened to fall in love with Fairbanks, Alaska, negative 40 degrees, would have thought. And I really laugh at it. And it just blows my mind because I am not the type of person, like I'm not really much of a snow person. I could actually do without snow. If I didn't have to deal with snow, I could live in a place that doesn't have any snow and that'd be fine with me. You know, that's why I love the Pacific Northwest because there's some snow, but it's not as snowy as in the mountains of the Rocky Mountains that I grew up around in northern New Mexico, southern Colorado area. So winter also is one of those seasons that I'm just like, winter could also probably do without dealing with winter. Like I like the warm months. I especially love fall and springtime. You know, summer is extra hot, but I can deal with summer. Somehow, some way, when I went to Alaska, I went with a really open mind. And I think because I went with an open mind, I went with an open heart. And with an open heart, it just, my heart flourished being able to find the sense of community and the sense of family that I did while I was there. I like to talk about the times that I've ran into moose, because moose are a thing that are pretty common that you run into in Alaska. I had about 3 moose encounters the first time that I was there. The very first moose encounter, it was a mom moose and a baby moose in the yard, and I saw them from the window, and that's where I took pictures. And when I sent those pictures to my grandma, the first thing she asked, she's like, oh, did you take those pictures from outside? No, I took those pictures from the window, from the safety and security of the window inside the house. And she said, when I was there, I didn't know that they were dangerous. So I saw the moose and I ran outside to go take pictures of them. Oh, grandma. Anyways, I love her. And the second time I ran into a moose was when I was driving home from work. I got a part-time job as a little part-time teller at one of the really, really local small banks that is there only in Alaska and only in Fairbanks, pretty much. I was driving, anyways, I digress. I was driving home from work and I see a dark figure and I start to slow down. And when I look over, I see a horse, or not a horse looking creature, but it's not a horse. It's a moose with its head inside of a mailbox. So it was one of those things where it was like, I want to take a picture. This is really funny that this moose has his head in a mailbox, but also like, I need to go fast enough to like get past the moose so it doesn't turn around and run into me. But I also got to go slow enough so I don't scare the moose that it doesn't turn around and run into me. So that's my moose story. I decided to tell moose stories because I just love moose. They are fun creatures, but we're going to go on another break, and this is going to be our last break. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to finish us off with a really, really fun story, that I love to tell. And then we'll call it a day. So let's go to break.
Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Tune in to Transformation with Martinet every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Martinet and her guests are here shining their lights today through empowering stories of hardship and transformation. Begin to see your life in a new light. Visit MartinetEmmons.com and tune in every second and fourth Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific to Transformation with Martinet. Are you living through any painful family relationships? Do you feel like you are frequently stuck in the past or can't sleep at night because of painful family memories? Rose Salkova is an energy life coach, and she's here to show you firsthand that your life doesn't need to be that way. She will guide you on how to take responsibility for your own energy and help you create a meaningful life for yourself. To find out more or schedule a session with Rose, visit familyhealingwithrose.com. Are you tired of struggling and feeling overwhelmed or being indecisive about your future? Angel Guidance can assist. Contact Cindy Smith, your Angel Empowerment Practitioner, for an angel card reading and more. How would you like to gain more clarity, energy, and a new perspective for your upcoming future? Find out more and book a session at CindySmithAEP.com. That's CindySmithAEP.com.
Jane Mack, and I'd love to tell you about the latest technology of the Velara company. I've been using the Velara company equipment, the air machines, since 1992, and I have found them to be totally successful in killing mold, mildew, and keeping your house fresh and clean. If you'd like more information on it, you can look at MaryJaneMack.com or call our office at 888-777-4232.
And we're back to Banking on Burlesque with me, Lana Montrese. And today's just one of those days that I'm just going to tell on myself, like, everything that I do. I pretty much almost scratched off my whole eyebrow, but I didn't scratch off my whole eyebrow, so it's fine. Eyebrows are good. The reason why I like to laugh at myself and call myself out like this is because I think sometimes it's, well, I know sometimes it's really great to see what the background, like what happens in the background of the big, beautiful, sparkly burlesque performer that's on stage. Like, I feel like me and this persona, or me as me and me in real life versus me like on stage, is a lot less intimidating, because I feel like people are sometimes very intimidated by me, and I'm not an intimidating person, or at least I don't think so. Digress. So the fun story that I really wanted to talk about that, is one of the best stories. So the producer of the Freezing Castle Burlesque Festival, the reason why I just say the producer or the performer or the this or the that, and I'm not name dropping because, like, I don't want to be considered someone that's just, like, you know, doing it to either get clout or also, like, to respect other people's privacies, but also, like, these stories are really fun, and yeah, it's a lot easier for me to do that. Anyways, I was saying, the producer of the Freezing Tassel Burlesque Festival reached out to me and asked if I would be a part of the Alaska's first all BIPOC show, so all Black Indigenous Person of Color show. And, you know, I of course had to say yes. So it was really great to be the, you know, to make history in Alaska as the first all Black and Indigenous people of color show. It was the day after Thanksgiving. Don't know the dates of that one. I just know that it was the day after Thanksgiving, whatever day that was that year. And I looked at it and I said, I could drive. Mind you, at this point in time, I was driving a minivan. I wasn't driving the truck that I was talking about in the previous story. I was driving a minivan. And, you know, I had the minivan had just went through a checkup. You know, it passed its exams on the minivan checkup. And so I said, okay, I could make that drive. I looked at it on the map. It was about a 6-hour drive from Fairbanks to Anchorage. I said, yeah, you know, with the weather, maybe like 8 hours, you know, so not too bad. It's about the same drive that I would take from Albuquerque to Denver. And I've done the drive from Albuquerque to Denver in the middle of winter and, you know, through what at that time felt like blizzards. It was fine. So I thought that me being the wild mountain Alaska woman that I thought I was between the months of September and November, packed up the minivan with my costumes, and, you know, I also had the extra gear that you pack up in a minivan or any sort of vehicle when you're driving in Alaska. You know, you have your chains, you have your extra gas cans, you have your tools, you have your like extra like warm clothes, you have blankets, like you have all the things just in case, like, you know, you drive off the side of the road and it's negative 40 degrees. Yeah. So I packed all the things up and I get on my merry little road and I start driving to Anchorage. Do-do-do. The weather's looking great. It's looking nice. It's fine. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm making good time. You know, this is awesome. The scenery is beautiful. It's like a winter wonderland because it's Alaska. And even though I don't like snow, I love the snow in Alaska because it's just dry snow. It just stays snow. You guys kind of have to get used to it. You either learn to love it or you just are miserable for the rest of your life in Alaska. I didn't want to be miserable. So I learned to love the snow specifically in Alaska. I drive. And then finally I think I stopped for food and gas. And then as I start to set on, all of a sudden I start getting hit with snow and what felt like a blizzard. It felt more like a blizzard than any of the other blizzards I had experienced in New Mexico. And it was awful. I remember calling a friend at one point and just crying on the phone, like, can you just stay on the phone with me? I don't want to die. And they were like, well, you know, trying to give me advice and being a really sweet human and saying, well, can you pull off or can you do that? And I was like, I just need you to not give me advice and just listen to me while I cry and try to stay alive on the road. They were like, okay. So they did that. They were a really great friend. 6-hour drive turned into a 10-hour drive, and I made it. I made it, and we did the show, and it was a great time, and we made history, and yeah, I decided to stop calling myself a wild Alaska mountain woman, but even though I still do sometimes, because Alaska decided that, you know, she was more wild and Alaskan than I am. She is. And it's a great time. The drive back. I'm a very trusting human, and I probably shouldn't have done this. And I don't even know why I'm even admitting to this out on the internet for the whole wide world to hear. But on the way back, so at the show, I re-downloaded Tinder, the dating app, and I decided to, you know, match with people and see if there would be anyone that wanted to hang out or go to the show or blah, blah, blah. I figured I could use it as a tool to promote the show and get more people in the seats. I did match with a really sweet human, and he came to the show, had a really great time, and we like connected and we hung out and we talked, and I told him my story about driving through the blizzard. He was like, oh my gosh, he was like legitimately more worried about me than I was worried about me for my drive the next day to go back to Fairbanks. Apparently he lived in Fairbanks before. So he offered to, he made a few different offers. He's like, well, I could fly you back to Fairbanks and we could like take a flight back together. He's like, I'd really like to get to know you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, you know, I don't want to leave the van here. It's technically not my van, so I can't really just leave it. He's like, well, I could follow you. I could drive with you. He's like, I'm really worried that you need to get, you know, you're not going to be as lucky as you were the first time when you drove down here. And I said, you know, normally I would probably say no because murder. I don't know if I should be saying murder out loud, but I just said murder 3 times. So I probably shouldn't have done that. Like even looking back on it, I'm like, you know, that was a very bold move. And I did, I allowed this person to follow me back to Fairbanks to make sure that I got back to Fairbanks safely, which I did. And I was very grateful. This did not end up like other things that happen out in the world that I could have turned wildly wrong. This person and I ended up getting into a relationship together and it was a really great time. So because of that, that was when there's actually a lot that happened. And like I said, I could fill a whole novel with what happened in Alaska. So I'm just going to kind of cut it short and just jump to and just let y'all like fill in the pieces as you want. Decided to move with my boyfriend to out to Vancouver, Washington. And we had me a going away show and I became Fairbanks famous and I got to be in the newspaper and there was a little article about me. And it's actually still on the internet. It's a farewell, Lana's farewell show. And those are the kind of people that are in Alaska. And yeah, I'd like to also just close out the show and just say that I love Alaska. And also you can catch me this month coming up. June is the month coming up. I'm going to be putting my producer hat back on and I'm going to be producing an all ages drag show at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland, Oregon. And then the next day I'm going to also offer some classes for burlesque. So if you want to take a burlesque class with me, follow me on the internets, on the social medias at Lana_Montrese or my website, lanamontrese.com. And you can find out where to attend my first Portland production and my first ever class series. So yeah, thank you and great show. Awkward show, but hey, we did it. Yay.
You have been listening to Banking on Burlesque, the propelling point of change with me, Lana Montrese. Tune in every fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on transformationtalkradio.com. Like I did, you will discover that healing starts within, and I would love to help you navigate into a world of sparkle, wonder, and a lifetime of magical change, and become empowered and heal from trauma through burlesque with me. Visit lanamontrese.com. That's lanamontrese.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.